Joining us now to talk a bit more about the president's message are David Brooks, senior editor at the Weekly Standard, and E.J. Dionne, columnist for the Washington Post and also senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Hello once again.
Hello.
Hello.
I wonder, we've just heard about all of the president's planned activities for the coming week, and I'd like to hear from both of you. We'll start with E.J. Do you think this is simply policy maintenance that we're now going to see all the time in order to maintain support here and abroad for what we're doing? Or is there some particular problem right now that the president is addressing?
I think the second is true. The Economist magazine had a headline on a story this week, Steadying Nerves, and I think that's really what President Bush is going to be trying to do here. There are three audiences at least. One is Americans, and in fact, I think it's entirely true that Americans will be patient with this. But the news hasn't been good, and the information coming out of the Pentagon, or the spin, if you want, from the administration hasn't been great. One week we're eviscerating the Taliban, the next week we're saying they're really tough fighters, and I think we've got to get steadier there.
When you say
there.
The news hasn't been good, you mean that there isn't a clear victory
there
over
isn't
the
a
Taliban?
Clear victory. Mr. Haq was killed. Mm-hmm. The notion that we're finally starting to bomb more heavily, which may or may not achieve what we want, which is some kind of victory against the Taliban. We haven't had a noticeable victory. The other two audiences, very quickly, are Muslims. Leaders of our allies want this over quickly, and they may want it over more quickly than we can manage it. And he needs to reassure them. And then Europeans. In Britain, for example, where Tony Blair has been very out front in supporting us, there's been a noticeable drop in the polls in supporting this war effort. So I think President Bush has to speak to all those audiences.
David Brooks, is that what you think he has to say?
Yeah, I think the tenor of the war changed last week. We realized this Taliban is not the Iraqi Republican Guard. They're not going to give up. We learned that our leaders, our domestic policy leaders, don't know everything there is to know about anthrax. And so he has to keep up with the tenor of the war. It's a more bloody-minded conflict. It's going to be a longer conflict. It's going to involve much more ground fighting than we thought. And he and his staff realize you have to change as the war changes. I think the one thing the American people will not forgive is arrogance. If they come out and say, we in the Pentagon and we in the White House know what there is to know, we're in total command, we're in control, then what happened to Tom Ridge a few weeks ago will happen to Bush. People will start laughing at him. People will think he's not doing a good job. But if he says, we're learning, it's going to be a long conflict, as he has been saying, he'll be fine next week.
There actually was some conflict between what Tom Ridge, who's the head of Homeland Security, said, and what Governor Gray Davis of California said about the advisability of saying that there was a threat to the bridges in California last week. Seemed to be some public officials not having their act together quite.
You know, it was interesting as President Bush actually came out in defense of Gray Davis. Mm-hmm. As a former governor, if you're a Republican, you ought to support states' rights. And he supported the rights of Gray Davis to give a warning. I think it's very difficult to tell a governor that if he has some information that some very prominent landmark in his state is about to be blown up, where a lot of people could get killed, to ask him, no, don't tell that to your people. What would those voters say if Gray Davis had information and hadn't made it public? So I think in the end, if you're a Californian, for sure, you'd rather know from your governor what's going on than have him listen to Washington and tell you, don't say this to people.
Yeah, there has been an amazing shift. 6 months ago, everyone was saying, well, Bush isn't too bright, but thank God he's got his staff. Now they're saying his staff is disorganized. Bush needs to get in there and whip these people into shape. And that is the changed perception of George W. Bush.
Now, it's very common nowadays for those who are critics, who are dissenters and oppose the U.S. policy in Afghanistan, to talk about all of the previous U.S. policies that led to, or at least didn't prevent the events of September 11th. And there was a hint in President Bush's address to Congress, to the joint session, that after all of this, there might be some revisiting root causes. Do you get the sense there's any intent here to look again at what U.S. policies are and fix things after the war? Is that a topic?
My sense is that's being pushed off. Take Rudy Giuliani in New York. He said, I'm going to tackle crime. I'm not going to talk about the root causes of crime. There's crime. I'm going to arrest criminals. My sense is that is the Bush approach on a global scale. You know, these people, we may have done things wrong. We've supported dictatorships in the Middle East. But the first thing we need to do is get rid of these guys. And I think that is the bloody-minded ethos. And what he has to explain is how getting rid of these guys is going to be morally hazardous. We're going to end up accidentally killing innocent people. We're going to end up killing children. And this week, he has to take a realistic look and say, we're going to do this horrible things, but we have to do it because it's in defense of our civilization.
But, I mean, 60 years ago, EJ, the U.S. went to war against Germany and Japan. And while going to war, it also after that war made a new world order that would avert that kind of war from taking place. Well, there's nothing inconsistent about a discussion like that, is
No,
there?
no, I don't think so. In fact, to pick up on David's metaphor, I think in some ways Bush is sending signals akin to those Tony Blair sent a long time ago when he said he wanted to be tough on crime and tough on the causes of crime, and that the two are not inconsistent. I think you've seen some problem inside the administration on this, where the State Department, which wants to create new political circumstances in Afghanistan, seemed to want the bombing to go slower because they didn't want the Northern Alliance to win too quickly. We now know that we don't have to worry about the Northern Alliance winning too quickly. In fact, we need to help them more than we were. But I think the president has made clear that he's not where he used to be in opposing nation building, and probably never used that term. But I think the administration does want to create new circumstances in Afghanistan so that, assuming we do win this war, we have circumstances where this kind of thing won't happen again.
You both remember very well the days when President Bush's father had an approval rating in the 90s. And was considered invulnerable in the re-election campaign, and Bill Clinton dared to run against him, and it just turned out beat him rather handily. Do you think we're seeing the same thing, the same kind of short-lived support for President the younger Bush right now, or is he actually gaining something permanent in the way of public esteem?
I think he's gaining something permanent in that this is not going to be like the Desert Storm. This isn't going to be a short war. And so the metaphor you draw, whereas you can win in foreign affairs, but you lose if you don't take care of domestic policy, I really don't think will apply to this presidency, because this war is going to be long. And I talked to people on Capitol Hill. They are still living 6 months ago. They don't realize the next election is going to be about the war. It's not going to be about the economy. And Bush really has to just win, and that'll take care of itself.
Well, thanks to both of you, David Brooks of the Weekly Standard and E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post.
Thank you.
Thank you.